It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
USN CIA Chief Gina Haspel to Turkey to investigate the torture and murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. This is actually an inspired choice because, as we've noted about the U.S. director of the CIA, she sure knows torture when she does it or sees it. Anyway, this is Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us on today's show, a long discussion of the item of the day and the week, our latest example of domestic terrorism, and what it says about our current leadership. But first, a little bit of news, and what it says about our leaders. Starting off, a man gropes a woman on an airplane and cites President Trump for why it's okay that he did it. This is what passes for almost humorous news in this day and age. I guess we should just wait until we hear about the 300 million Americans who commit tax fraud, cite Donald Trump for why it's okay. The head of the Gambino crime family committing money laundering, citing Donald Trump for why it's okay. And perhaps 1 million Americans sexually assaulting their own daughters, because after all, Donald Trump wants to have sex with his own daughter. And for the Republican Party currently governing this country, sexual assault is apparently okay. Speaking of okay or not okay, we're still seeing the latest on the Saudi Arabian murder of journalist and dissident Jamal Khashoggi. And this is also now devolving into some kind of black comedy. I'm sure by now, because this was way earlier in the week, you've heard that Saudi Arabia dressed someone up to look like Jamal Khashoggi and then photographed him leaving the consulate to show that they obviously hadn't murdered anybody. Nobody who isn't the president of the United States, of course, was dumb enough to fall for that idiocy. But as we talk about what's going on with the murder of a journalist and some of these that are almost comical if we weren't talking about murder, let's not miss the big picture of what the GOP stands for and what this all represents and why this is so problematic. First, this is what happens when the United States leadership has no values. When you are run by a man who is an empty shell ethically and morally. Yes, idiots will go around doing bad things. But worse than that, of course, are the broad implications, which become tragic when there is a leadership vacuum coming out of the United States. The rise of right-wing fascists across the world, jailing their political opposition or murdering their political opposition, squashing dissent, attacking their own news media, and citing Donald Trump, the leader of the free world, for why that's okay. And yes, a foreign leader murders a critical journalist. He doesn't even have to cite Donald Trump. Donald Trump basically cited himself by attacking journalists. Yes, it's true at this point, Trump has reluctantly acknowledged that Mr. Khashoggi was probably murdered. And he has vowed that there will be consequences. Already, he has taken away the visas of the people on the hit squad. Why? Did they want to come work here? What's next? Is MBS going to be sent to bed without dinner? This is the serious consequences that the United States is considering. Because after all, as we've noted before, this is all about making this go away. The idea that the United States would stand up for journalism and against murder committed by the state takes a back seat to political expediency or economic expediency. It's possible that Trump isn't even lying entirely about the United States' interests being involved here. Although he, of course, is absolutely lying, again, almost comically, about the extent to which United States interests are implicated here. Every time he speaks, continuing to up the number of how much money Saudi Arabia is allegedly spending, which they're not, on our military contracts. Turns out, however, the one thing we do know is Saudi Arabia has been funneling a lot of money to, wait for it, Donald Trump and the Trump family. This brings us to maybe the greatest shibboleth that should be burst with this whole issue in Saudi Arabia. This idea of market efficiency that the right has been promulgating since before I was born. And I was born a long time ago. The idea that markets will work efficiently if government will just get out of the way. Well, that's what Trump's trying to do right now. Just make this all go away so we can continue to do business and make money and not let the murder of journalists or political opponents get in the way. Most heinously in this whole story, the most revolting, I think, part of this whole story is the reaction by business leaders to what's been going on. Yes, the United States has made a point of saying, oh, this is a big deal, and famously withdrew from the Riyadh Business Conference, only to go to Riyadh to work with Saudi Arabia. But here's a portion, I think, a paragraph from an article from the New York Times this week on the reception and what happened with Mohammed bin Salman after Turkey came out with further evidence indicating that he was a murderer. Hours later, reads the article, Prince Mohammed bounded into the gilded conference hall of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Riyadh. I already need to shower. To a standing ovation from scores of oil executives, bankers, and other businessmen who had risked association with scandal over the killing of Mr. Khashoggi for a chance to profit from the kingdom's vast wealth. Yes, several people at the conference have even come out and been quoted in the New York Times and elsewhere, basically saying, we sure hope this doesn't get in the way of our making a whole lot of money. We're not worried about murder and ethics and things like that, democracy, civilization, if it gets in the way of making money. But this paragraph to me pretty much sums it up. The most disgusting human beings on the planet, i.e. the international super rich, giving a standing ovation to one of their brethren, a murderer. Not even getting into what he's done in Yemen, so mass murderer works. Anyway, of course, speaking of bursting the Republicans' bubbles, I wanted to start the week, my notes from just a few days ago, start with bomb found at George Soros' house. We, of course, have been talking on this show for many weeks, actually since we started, but certainly the last few weeks, we have been focusing on how the Republicans have been attacking George Soros. But then, of course, while I was writing that, I heard the news that Hillary Clinton, too, the Clintons also received a bomb. And in short order, Obama, CNN, Maxine Waters, Eric Holder, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, James Clapper, Robert De Niro. Anything kind of ring a bell with all those names? Yeah. Turns out they're all the people that Donald Trump has been attacking over the last several months. Hard to imagine that that could happen. Certainly Trump would never, ever ask for violence. And he and his vice president, of course, made it clear while this was going on. They came out against violence. Donald Trump tweeting, in these days we need to unify. Shortly before attacking the press and his political opponents. Because this jackass can't even stick to the script for a few minutes. And when he starts attacking the press, of course, his point is, it is incendiary to report on things said or done by the President of the United States. The scary thing here, when the President of the United States, who constantly calls for violence, who constantly demonizes his political opponents, says we need to unify, is to a large extent, I think he and his vice president actually mean it. They do think this country needs to unify. This is kind of been the case, the Republican ideal of unification since at least the Boy George administration, where Republicans made it perfectly clear that they were willing to reach out and work with Democrats as long as the Democrats agreed to do everything the Republicans wanted. They were being reasonable about it. We'll work with you. Just do everything we say. With Trump, of course, it's we need to unify behind our dear leader. That's right. That is the idea of unification. Having a one-party, basically fascistic state. But, of course, as we go to air right now, they have just made an arrest. U.S. intelligence agencies have just arrested a suspect in the attempted bombings, which Donald Trump announced at his post-arrest pep rally in front of some of the stupidest people on the planet. In fact, not only was it Trump supporters, it was black Trump supporters. So I guess they're like stupid squared. And Donald Trump, reading from his script, said wonderful things. He still sounded like an idiot while he was saying it, but at least he said wonderful things. We must never allow violence to take root in this country. We must be united together in peace and love and harmony. Right before they started chanting, lock her up, lock her up. Fake news. Yes, Trump, a few moments later, going off of his script, went back to full autocrat mode and attacked the media. It's all the media's fault for publicizing things that Donald Trump says and does. And while he was doing that, in the immediate aftermath of calls for unity, in the immediate aftermath of the arrest of a moron who sent bombs to Donald Trump's political opponents, the morons in the audience were chanting fake news and InfoWars. Yes, InfoWars. Alex Jones's conspiracy website or broadcast show, whatever it is right now, he's been kicked off a lot of actual media because he's such a lying, provocative, incendiary sack of shit. But that doesn't stop the morons in the midst of all that's going on from chanting InfoWars, InfoWars. It was really uplifting when Donald Trump praised the investigators for getting to the bottom of it so quickly. Yes, you know, Donald Trump, who only has good things to say about U.S. law enforcement. I can only hope that Peter Strzok was heading the investigation of the bombings. I'm sure he was not. So let's recall, I realize these statements, the comical aspects of these statements basically speaks for itself. We must never allow violence to take root in this country, united, together, in peace, love, and harmony. This is the same week, let's recall, a few instances of Donald Trump promoting harmony. Just a few days ago, or some time ago at one of his rallies, Donald Trump was again praising the Montana congressman who assaulted a journalist. What was Trump's phrase? My kind of man? Remember that Donald Trump has been calling for violence at all of his pep rallies. Beat him up. Throw him out. He's called for the police to engage in more violence toward suspects. He's continued to call for the execution of black boys who'd been found innocent of their crimes. He continues to refer to people in gangs as not people, but animals. This is the man who is trying to help win an election for his comrades by talking about migrants and how they consist of gangs and terrorists without any evidence, any reason to say such a thing. Demonizing, of course, the migrant caravan of a few thousand people desperately working their way north to try to find some place where their family can live in safety. Indicating that they will be storming the U.S. borders. Many of those in the caravan will not even reach the U.S. border. Many in the caravan do not want to reach the U.S. border. But those who do reach the U.S. border will not be armed with pickaxes, or even worse, they will show up to fill out paperwork to apply for asylum. You know, terrorists. We continue to see Donald Trump and his Republican Party asking for unity while violating every standard of decency that has existed throughout this country's history. We've spoken repeatedly about the dog whistles coming out of the Republican Party and the calls to violence for political opponents. You can't incite the most brain-dead people on the planet, your supporters, and then act surprised when they turn to violence. Dog whistles. You can't seek to divide this country and then call for unity. In the news this week, Uh-oh, Megyn Kelly may be out of a job. It turns out you can take the girl out of Fox News, but you can't take the Fox News out of the girl. As Megyn Kelly wonders on air why it's so bad for white people to dress up in blackface for Halloween. And now we'll probably be on the unemployment line. But don't worry, because Fox News jackasses, bigots, and liars don't end up unemployed, don't end up destitute, don't end up on the street. She'll find another job, and even if she doesn't, she's got many millions to try to help her through the rest of her life. This week we saw Ron DeSantis, the Florida gubernatorial candidate, defend one of his racist donors. The man who has said that Florida voters should not monkey up the election. I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that his opponent, Andrew Gillum, is black. That's the nature of dog whistles. What? Racist? No. Just don't monkey it up, you know. When he was confronted with this, he responded with a further dog whistle. And now we've seen this week, once again back in the news, the census and the administration's intent to add a citizenship question to the census, something that has not been done since before Jim Crow. It turns out, you might have missed this week, that the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross lied about the White House's role in coming up with the change for the census. Wilbur Ross had said the White House had nothing to do with it. Oops, it turns out we've uncovered some memos that indicate that, in fact, this was done in large part at the direction of the White House. But don't worry, people. This is going to end well, because just this week, the United States Supreme Court blocked Wilbur Ross from being deposed in a lawsuit over the obvious fact that this whole idea of adding a citizenship question to the census is to depress Hispanic representation in America. You know, when Donald Trump talks about the caravan, he talks about terrorists. No evidence of it. He says, oh, it's filled with terrorists, trust me. You know who's not a terrorist? You want to take a moment on that one? I have not yet heard Donald Trump refer to the bomber, attempted bomber. I don't know if you're a bomber if you mail bombs that don't go off, as a terrorist. The closest I heard him get was saying terroristic at one point. Because, of course, this is Donald Trump and Republican America. White people aren't terrorists. This guy can't be a terrorist because he's a Trump supporter. He's a white guy. Those people aren't terrorists. Only Muslims can be terrorists. Let's ignore the fact that just recently the Southern Poverty Law Center came out and noted that the number of hate groups in the United States has risen from 784 in 2014 to 954 in 2017. Let's forget about the fact that the overwhelming majority of domestic terrorist incidents in America are not undertaken by Muslims or even Hispanics, but by Trump supporters, the ultra-right in America. But that's okay, because once again what we see in violating standards of decency is that the Republicans thrive on divisiveness, unlike the other side. Also in the news this week that many of you may have missed, Joe Biden, our former vice president, a guy who represents the Democratic Party in the sense that he is always reaching out to make friends with the other side, to bend over backwards to work with the other side. This is, after all, the guy who, as head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, pushed through the appointment of Clarence Thomas, serial sexual harasser, liar, unqualified dog whistler, to the United States Supreme Court. Well, Joe Biden was in the news this week giving an award to former President Boy George for all he has done for veterans. No, seriously. He was giving George W. Bush an award for all he has done with veterans. Why is this kind of funny? Well, let's start with the fact that George Bush had his daddy buy him out of the Vietnam War, which he supported, and into the National Guard, which was still too much trouble for him to perform his duty at. So he went AWOL from the National Guard to go work on a political campaign. This is the guy who, while running to remain president in 2004, I can't say re-election because he clearly wasn't elected in 2000, but while he was already president and running to maintain the presidency against a true American war hero, John Kerry, oversaw, benefited from, the Swift Boat campaign, where concerted lies were told about John Kerry's war record to make it look like George Bush had the better war record. In fact, as I've noted on this show before, swift boating someone has now entered our lexicon as meaning to destroy someone's reputation through a series of organized and concerted lies. Yeah, that's respect for veterans. Divisiveness? You know, things are bad enough with the way the Republicans are making political hay out of a group of desperate people fleeing their country, fleeing violence and murder to try to find a life for themselves and their families. But they've been doing it, of course, through lies. Lying about what's in the caravan, not just about terrorists. Did you hear this? That apparently they started spreading a picture of, I guess, a law enforcement officer allegedly beaten up by people on the caravan. Turns out the picture was taken in 2012. I haven't heard this yet, but it wouldn't be a surprise if it didn't even have anything to do with any migrants or immigrants at all. Well, guess who tweeted this bullshit picture? That is a lie. It doesn't stand for what it purports to. Well, it turns out it's the wife of our esteemed Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. There used to be a time in this country where being a member of the United States Supreme Court meant something. There was a gravity to the situation, an understanding of the weight of the responsibility that was placed on that position. People grew and changed on the United States Supreme Court as they understood the impact on people's lives of the decisions that they were making. That was before we chose our Supreme Court justices based on who was the most reliable political apparatchik, regardless of their qualifications for being a judge. And yes, I'm not just talking about you, Brett Kavanaugh. So in the wake of what's going on, in the wake of all these bombings, in these calls for unity in America, we once again see the media routinely falling into the false equivalency trap. We're hearing, don't dehumanize your political opponents. Obviously, that sounds like pretty sage advice. We're hearing that everybody needs to tone down the nastiness, ignoring the fact that the nastiness is coming from one side. Well, okay, wait a minute. Maybe some nastiness is coming from both sides. I guess I'm guilty of a certain amount of nastiness. But once again, here's a false equivalency. Attacking people for what they say and do is not the same as attacking people for what you're lying about what they say and what they do. And that is the difference between even those of us who are angry about where we are in this country and our political opposition and people who watch or act on Fox News, appear on Fox News. It's a little bit different to be attacking Donald Trump and the Republican Party for what they do. And that is why on this show, I always cite the facts that support what I'm saying. On the left, we're not talking about Donald Trump running a child sex ring through a Washington pizza restaurant, like Republicans were lying about Hillary Clinton. We're not making up that Donald Trump has murdered people that he clearly hasn't murdered. We're not making up that Donald Trump is an illegitimate president who wasn't born in America. But the other side is. And so to make some equivalence between the two sides is once again showing that people on the left and people with some integrity bend over backwards to try to appear fair, while people on the right just lie their way through everything and attack and attack and attack. And at the same time they're calling for unity, they'll be lying about the other side. And that's the big advantage that the Republican Party will always have. As we've reported at length, having no ethics and speaking to absolute morons really gives you a huge advantage. So tone down the nastiness? Sure. But do we really say that Jews should stop saying nasty things about the Nazis, just like the Nazis should stop saying nasty things about the Jews? Isn't there a difference? You know, maybe it should be identified before you do he said, she said. Maybe we should identify someone's record of telling the truth or of lying. So maybe in being fair and equal, we should say, Dr. Blasey Ford, who has a strong history of telling the truth, said one thing. And that was countered by Brett Kavanaugh, who's a lying sack of shit. And every time he opens his mouth, appears to tell lies. That kind of puts a new perspective on he said, she said, doesn't it? Anyway, just a few minutes after the bomb suspect was caught and Donald Trump appeared in front of his acolytes, Trump tweets that the bomb suspect was now caught and Republicans better go out and vote. What does that mean? The capture of this bombing suspect with all of the Trump paraphernalia on every corner of his van, this shows that Republicans are under attack somehow? The message is, Republicans, you are under attack. You better go out and vote. Where does that come from? No, the one thing that tweet actually does is acknowledges what Donald Trump says and those of us on the left, or most people on the left or in the mainstream media, refuse to acknowledge, which is that whether or not the bombs go off or the shots are fired at this point, we are already at war in this country. And yes, if you are listening to this show, you had better go grab your friends, your relatives, those with some sanity, those with some decency, and get them to vote in just a little over a week. Because how this war plays out is going to be determined to a very large extent by what happens a little over a week from today. We've been talking for a while, just last thought before we go, about how a corrupt political party stays in power. We've talked at length about the lying, about being in a political campaign where one side's claimed position on every major policy issue is the opposite of its true position, where Republicans run for political office as the champion of health coverage for people with pre-existing conditions, while still being the named plaintiff in lawsuits to deny people coverage for pre-existing conditions. We've read this week about how conservative social media apps have been created to allow them to spread lies without any filter whatsoever. But most importantly, of course, we've talked about voting. And tragically, this has been in the news way too much again this week as well. Yes, another Russian woman was indicted for trying to interfere in the 18 midterms. Yes, we found out that Rick Gates, a high Trump campaign official, solicited help from Israel, from an Israeli company for social media manipulation, lying to people before the election. And we've seen further instances of suppressing the vote and disenfranchising Americans, taking away their voting rights. Most tragically, of course, now in the news is what's happening in North Dakota. North Dakota, where Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp won a very narrow election in 2012. With the help of one district, or a couple of districts actually, where she received about 80% of the votes. Those districts containing large Native American Indian reservations. So, how do Republicans win elections in 2018? by denying voting rights to Native Americans. Because after all, really, we haven't screwed these people enough yet. We haven't taken away enough from Native Americans. We're still fighting those wars. Turns out there's a brilliant plan to require that anyone registering to vote provides a valid street address, which it turns out many Native Americans on reservations do not have. But the voting problems don't just go to lying and voter suppression. We're learning more this week about actual voter hacking and the extent to which this country is still loaded with paperless voting machines. More than a year and a half ago, we reported on this show how easily hacked those voting machines are. That people could go in and change the vote counts. But of course, this is America. Who would stoop that low? Yeah, right. With what's going on in this country, put your reliance on that one. So that's it for today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Please like us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Facebook, wherever you can. Please share us with your friends and relatives. Please stay informed and have a great week. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with